of steel cuts the space. Young warriors dance in grace. On earth as it is in heaven. Uttamala
company of the seas, I am home. This beautiful song that you're listening to right now is from Carry Us Home, a very early CD with Sanatan Kaur when she was with what is called the Peace Family. And I happen to like it. I think it's beautiful, very pretty. And Guru Ram Dass. And we're now ready for our guests on this hour of In the Spirit. And, of course, you're listening to, I am your host, Gary Goldberg, and you're listening to In the Spirit on WRPI Troy, the Upstate Underground. The Children at the Well, Interfaith Story, Youth Storytelling, we're going to focus on today. We have Marnie, Paula, who's the adults in the group, and we have Ada, Tom, Toma, Emily, Retham, and Kalafala. I got it right? All right, good. The Interfaith Story Circle has been meeting for 16 years to share stories and storytelling resources. Their goal in this youth effort is to value and nourish the gifts of the next generation and to give them the opportunity to demonstrate the transforming and healing power of story to family, friends, and the broader community. As Dr. Muhammad Kabir, former principal of the Anur Islamic School, writes, storytelling is a way for people to find common connections. Who can think of a better way to transform the future than by building bridges within the next generation? And today on In the Spirit, we will host a group of young people who I just mentioned, gathering to delve into the treasures of wisdom in their own traditions, in similar ways to the age-old custom of youth at the village well drawing water to bring back to their families to sustain them. We will explore the deepening understanding of their own tradition and that of others. Their intentions are to get to know people of other faiths as well as participate in the local Interfaith Story Circle meetings and its community events and promote peace and understanding among all peoples. And also, you'll have an opportunity to also hear them today on this program In the Spirit on WRPI, but also there'll be an Interfaith Youth Storytelling group experience on Sunday, March 29th, this weekend at 3:30 p.m. at St. Francis de Sales Church, 1 Maria Drive in Loudonville. Contact is Gert Johnson, 374-0637. And I'll give you this information again. We should get on with the program. But just to let you know, keep it in the back of your minds that there will be an event on Sunday, and we'll give you more details. We'll go into that later. But there will be an opportunity to see them. And why don't we just begin and talk with our friends, Paula and Marnie. Paula, how you doing?
Fine, thanks, Gary.
Yeah, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having us all here.
Yeah, Marnie, hello.
Hey, Gary.
Yes, Marnie. She jogged my memory. She was with us. So how long ago?
It was a number of years back.
We talked about Thich Nhat Hanh.
Right.
Yeah, thank you. And that was wonderful, too. It always is. Now, we are in this event where we're going to have the children speak about stories on the air, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So why don't you set it up for us, one of you two, Paula or Marnie, and let us know how we will do this.
Well, I'll certainly leave that to Marnie.
Okay.
She's the coach.
But you go ahead and just tell them a little tiny bit about our
group. Oh, do you want to hear some about how we started?
Yes.
Okay. As you read, the Interfaith Story Circle has been meeting monthly for about 16 years in a variety of places of worship and meeting groups all over the Capital District. About 6 years ago, my daughter Ada got involved, and she was just a kid, and mm-hmm. she really loved it, and she actually told at one of the performances, the Winter Lights, and we all wanted more kids to come and join her, so we, Marnie and I and a group of others, including Gert, put our heads together and came up with an idea for a youth interfaith storytelling group, and we got together a proposal, submitted it to the National Storytelling Network, and we won the Brimstone Award for 2006, and we were launched.
Excellent.
So this will be our fourth year, Children at the Well.
Fourth year, and where have you performed in the past?
Oh, so many places. Our main performances have been Shenandoah United Methodist, mm-hmm. Niskayuna Reformed Church. We were at the Hindu Temple last year. And this year we'll be at St. Francis de Sales.
In Loudonville.
Loudonville.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Now, I was Paula, and we have Marnie.
We also sometimes meet at the Hubbard Interfaith Hall at St. Rose.
Yes.
Because they've been very generous with that facility. And this year, besides the St. Francis de Sales performance, which is followed by a potluck, and we really would be happy to have anybody come, vegetarian potluck, mm-hmm. We have next Thursday, April 2nd, in the evening from 6 to 8 at Congregation Beth Emeth on Academy Road, right by Albany Academy. That'll be where our older students, because we keep getting new students every year, we kind of have divided almost into the new kids and the interns, we call them. And we've got a combination, actually, of those kids here with us today.
Great. Okay, well, thank you. And how are they going to participate on the air? How is it going to be set up?
We're going to kind of play it by ear with getting the kids to both tell stories and talk a little bit about their experiences. Otto, would you feel like starting off for us with a story? People love to hear a good story, and that'll pull them into the idea of what storytelling is really about. Would you like that?
Okay. Move the mic so it's near your mouth. Sit there. Ada is here, and she's going to begin and talk right into the mic, would you please? And so
is loud this into- good?
Yeah, it is.
This story is called The Angel's Wings, and it's a folktale from 13th century Germany. It's a Jewish folktale. Long before the time of Noah and the well, lived a girl named Istahar. And her favorite thing to do was to lean against a tree and watch as the sun would set and the stars would start to come out one by one. And she especially loved to watch the shooting stars. And she always wondered where those stars went. And as she watched the stars each night, she began to wish that she could have a star of her own. And one night, her wish came true. She saw that in the top of the tree she was sitting in, leaning against, there was something shining. And she climbed up as quickly as she could. But when she reached out for what she thought was the star, she saw instead it was a jewel, and as she looked into the jewel, she saw a flame. And as she looked into the flame, she saw a face, and a voice spoke to her. Istahar, this is a jewel from the throne of glory in paradise. You must return this jewel to its proper place, or a great blessing will be lost to the world. You, and only you, must return this jewel. If you see a demon, do not give this jewel to a demon. And if you see an angel, even angels can be tempted to steal beautiful things. But how should I know if I see an angel or a demon? Demons never have shadows, and angels have wings. And with this, the voice disappeared, and the face disappeared, and Istahar was left alone with this strange jewel. And all of a sudden, in the moonlight, she could see a dark creature in front of her. And as she looked at this creature, she saw that it had no shadow. She knew this was a demon. And its dark arms started coming towards her and reaching towards the jewel. And so she yelled, "Demon! Go away!" But it didn't move. It came closer and closer. "Demon, "Where is your shadow?" And then, just like a dog looking for its tail, the demon turned around looking for its shadow, and it got so confused that it disappeared. Istahar relaxed until she saw something on the horizon that looked like a fiery bird. And this being came closer and closer, and it became so bright that she had to cover her eyes. But she peeped through her fingers, and she could see that this creature was not a bird, but it had wings. This was an angel. "Istahar," the angel said, "I see you have a jewel from the throne of glory in paradise. I can return this for you." But Istahar remembered the warning that even angels could be tempted by beautiful things. "No," she said, "before I give you the jewel, you must let me try on your wings." "But Istahar, this is impossible. My wings don't come off." "What do you mean? You're an angel. With angels, anything is possible. If you don't give me your wings, I don't believe you're an angel." And so what could the angel do but give her the wings? And so right away, Istahar put the wings on, and when she put the wings on, she knew exactly how to fly. And when she was wearing the angel's wings, she knew exactly where to fly. And soon she found herself at the throne of glory in paradise. And there were 9 glowing jewels, just like the one she held herself. And there was a place for the 10th jewel. And so she placed the 10th jewel down on the throne, and she heard a chorus of angels singing to her in thanks. And God noticed Istahar, and God kissed her on the forehead. And she felt as if light, just like the light and the flame in the jewel, light was filling her entire body. And God made Istahar into a star, the morning star. And everyone on earth looked up and noticed this bright new star. And they knew it was a great new blessing. And that angel who had given Istahar the wings, the angel wandered for years on earth until God decided that the punishment was enough. And God allowed the angel to find the ladder that Jacob had seen in his dreams, the ladder where the angels climb up and down and up and down. And in this way, the angel climbed up the ladder and returned to paradise.
Oh, Ada, lovely, really lovely. Would you share with us a little bit about your process? I know you've been a storyteller since you were really a little girl, right? And we've met you at 11, and now you're 17, so you've had a lot of years of practice. But as you're developing any new story, what's that like?
It depends on the story, but I always like to reword things to fit how I see the story unfolding. I was lucky to have this story to find this story retold by Howard Schwartz in a very tellable way, but other stories I completely take apart and reconstruct until the language is natural. And I like stories that have a little bit of magic in them. So That's one thing I really liked in this.
Great, great. Very beautiful story.
What tradition?
Thank you. That's a Jewish folk tale from Germany.
What year?
13th century.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Sometimes we do know our sources pretty well, and then other times it's kind of like finding a story off the internet.
Oh, okay.
But the different kids have, you know, a little different ways of choosing or whatever.
Yeah, it gives our listeners a sense of it, you know, where the story comes from and historically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So we have other guests here that are, and thank you, Ada, very much. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. And who else would like to speak and tell a story? Is this the way it works in a storytelling group, the interfaith storytelling group?
That's right. Mostly we meet on Sundays and we kind of go around the circle and everybody has a chance to tell their story. And Mary Murphy is one of the other people that helps me coach.
Okay.
And Gert Johnson is our originator. I think mm-hmm. we mentioned her before. And Nancy Marie Payne has come over as a storytelling coach.
Okay. And who's joining us right now?
Toma, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hello, Toma.
Hello. Yeah. My story is an Arab folktale. I don't really know when it's from. It is about a man named Joha. He is kind of silly.
Is this your tradition, too?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
This story is called Joha and the Pot.
Yeah, well, go ahead. You know, fine.
One time, Joha had a lamb, and he wanted to cook it, but he didn't have a pot big enough. But he knew that his neighbor Fahad did. So he went to his neighbor's house and knocked on the door, and when Fahad answered, Joha asked, "Fahad, may I borrow your pot, the big one?" And Fahad agreed, so he lugged his big pot all the way to the front door, and then Joha lugged it all the way back across the street to his house and into his kitchen. And so Joha cooked his lamb, and he threw a huge party. Everybody was invited. There was all sorts of food. He didn't just cook the lamb. And then there's also all sorts of entertainments. There were jugglers and jesters and clowns and people with monkeys. And everybody had a great time. And the next day, Joha returned Fahad's pot. And just by chance, Fahad happened to look into the pot, and he noticed a smaller pot. And he didn't quite know what the pot was doing in there. So he asked Joha, "Joha, what is this pot doing in my pot?" And Joha looked into the pot and saw that there's the little pot, and exclaimed, "Why, Fahad, this is a miracle! Your pot has had a baby!" And Fahad just sort of stared for a minute, and then he understood what was going on. And Joha said, "You must celebrate this occasion and keep the pot for yourself." So that's just what Fahad did. And a few months went by, and then it just happened that Joha acquired a cow that he wanted to cook. But he still hadn't bought in a pot that was big enough to fit something that size. So once again, he went to Fahad's house and knocked on the door. And when Fahad answered, Joha asked for the pot again, and Fahad readily gave it to him, hoping maybe that his pot would give birth again. So he cooked this cow, and once again, he threw a great party. All sorts of foods, and all sorts of entertainment. It was just as great as the last one, if not even more exciting and entertaining. But unlike the last time, Joha did not return the pot the next day, or the next, or the next. And a week went by, and eventually Fahad realized that Joha really never did return the pot. So he went to Joha's house and knocked on the door, and when Joha answered, Fahad asked, "Joha, do you have my pot?" And with a solemn face, Jehovah put a hand on Fahed's shoulder and said, "I am sorry, my friend, but your pot has died." Now, Fahed was a little confused, because he was a logical person. He figured that since it was an inanimate object, the pot just, how could it die? So he asked Jehovah this question, and Jehovah replied very simply, "Fahed, if a pot can give birth, your pot can die." And eventually, Fahed figured that this made sense, so he just accepted the fact that his pot has died and went home, and life went on. Jehovah eventually bought another pot, which he decided to give to Fahed, and that was basically the end of that tale.
Thank you, Toma. Where does that originate?
I don't really remember, but there are a lot of other tales about Jehut, and they originate all over, North Africa and the Middle East.
So how did you learn about this particular one? Where did you find it?
Well, my mom was looking for a book of Arab folk tales in mm-hmm. the library, and she found it.
Great, great. Thank you. What did you learn from this lesson?
Well, I learned that you can really, anything can What I'm saying is, if you can present it right, anything is possible. you wouldn't expect a pot to be able to die unless you heard my story.
Yes. Well, it sounds like there's the possibilities of life in everything.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Toma's story is what we traditionally call a trickster story,
yeah, yeah.
too. That Joha, he's got some tricks that he likes to play on people.
Yes.
And those kinds of stories, trickster stories, happen in many, many different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the students are actually looking for a story that deeply represents a faith tradition, and other times maybe it's more like a cultural tradition, which very much this is. The Nasruddin stories that come also out of the Muslim tradition, he's a character similar to Joha, and yet sometimes they have a little more sense of wisdom to them, but sometimes they're also just kind of foolish, and you have to get the joke. Sometimes you have to read a Sufi tale or a Nasruddin tale more than once.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it has a certain flavor, and those people that have a little experience about the culture would more likely to be in on it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
And we appreciate learning about it, because here on In the Spirit, and hopefully all around the world, people are getting to learn each other and learn about each other's faiths and their cultures and appreciate them for being different than theirs.
Absolutely.
And we can honor and respect where we're all coming from and all the different, and you children who are, this gives us faith in humanity that this is something that you actually care about, so that people can learn that children of today are growing up appreciating each other's stories, appreciating each other's religions and backgrounds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly why we formed the group. And some of our best times are when we're just sitting around the table having pizza or whatever after practice or before, and the kids have a chance to just talk with each other and ask each other questions and know about each other's traditions.
We're going to do a few seconds of a station break, and we'll be right back. This is In the Spirit on WRPI Troy, the Upstate Underground. I'm your host, Gary Goldberg, and we have Children at the Wells, Interfaith Storytelling, with us on this hour of In the Spirit. So continue to stay tuned.
This is WRPI Troy at 91.5 FM and live on the internet at www.wrpi.org. From Bennington to Broad Albin and from Catskill to Corinth, we're everywhere. This is 91.5 WRPI Troy.
Very good. And we have our next storyteller. And who is this?
Emily, go ahead.
I'm Emily.
Hello, Emily. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. Tell us about what you want to share with us.
Well, I picked my story
mm-hmm.
because the lesson in it reminds me of the lesson that in the story that I told last year. And I liked the way that it echoed the story.
Oh, good, good. So we're looking forward to hearing your story.
Thank you. It's called...
This is Emily. Thank you for your story. Okay, I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
My story is called The Cracked Pot.
Okay.
Once there was a woman who lived in a very small village, and every day she would walk down to a stream to get water for the day. Now, she did this by carrying a pole with two pots across her back. Now, one pot had a crack in its side. The other pot was whole. So, when she would get back up to her house, she would only have 1.5 pots of water instead of 2. Now, a couple years of this went by, and the cracked pot started to feel bad. The whole pot would say things to the cracked pot like, "I am the best pot. I don't have a crack in my side. I'm much better than you." And the cracked pot would think, "Well, I'm a nice pot." Well, one day when the woman was down at the stream, the cracked pot looked up at the woman and said, "I am sorry that I haven't been able to give you as much water as the whole pot has. I feel very bad about that." And, of course, after the woman got over the shock that the pot could talk, she smiled and looked down at the cracked pot and said, "Well, if you notice, there are flowers on your side of the road, but not on the other pot's side of the road. I realized from the very beginning that you have a crack in your side, so I put flower seeds along the side of the road. So every day, when I walk back up to my house, you water those seeds. So every day, beautiful flowers to put on my table." Well, after that, the whole pot would still say rude things to the cracked pot. But the cracked pot would think back to what the woman had said to it, and it would know that it had a place in the world.
Thank you. What is the source of this story?
Well, I actually don't know. Marnie could tell you.
We have a whole collection of folk tales that we share with the kids, and I think this really, some people say it's a Chinese story, other people have said there's an Indian version of it. I think it's one of those stories, like Cinderella almost, that's traveled around the world.
Is this you found in a book?
I've heard it from a variety of different storytellers and different versions, and we found a printed version on an internet site.
You know, talk about, do you want to say something about story and history and how that is important in how we've developed?
Well, truly, the whole art of storytelling was really probably one of the earliest art forms in general. Once people learned to speak and they wanted to communicate, they looked about the world and they made sense of the world. There's many, many stories that are about how things came to be in the world, in the natural world, you know, how the camel got his hump or how the woodpecker, you know, came to be the way the woodpecker is. And also our myths that come from, you know, deep, deep inside us that have come just out of the minds and out of the psyches and emotions of people. And that was long before stories were written down. And they were a way that people kind of made sense of their world and of their lives.
I think it's a real connecting way that we can feel for each other. I remember when I was raising my children and my nieces and nephews, I would tell stories, and we'd go out camping and we'd sit by the fire, you know, and we'd tell stories, you know, to each other. It made it more enlivening.
Mm-hmm. The human voice carries images, and the storyteller really is looking at the images in his or her mind, imagining them. And some people imagine visually, but other people feel kinesthetic things. And, you know, all our senses are at work when we're telling a story. And if the storyteller is imagining it fully, then the audience can come into that world, and it truly is a deep connection. We tell the children, even though a lot of us are just practicing, you know, with ourselves as a group, but if they can get in front of an audience and feel the audience's energy, the story actually will come out for that particular audience in a unique way.
Tell me, Emily, how did this story appeal to you? Why did it appeal to you?
Well, As I said, I really liked how the lesson of the story sort of echoed the lesson of the story that I told last year. I sort of like that theme.
Yes, which is?
Well, I guess it's like no matter what people say to you, you should realize that you are special.
Yes. When did you start getting interested in stories?
Last year at my school, the campus minister at my school came up to me, and she told me about Children at the Well, and she explained it to me, and I thought, and I really liked the idea. So,
good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. How old are you, by the way?
Oh, I'm 13.
Okay, 13. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Just to get a sense of, you know, when listeners are listening, they can know how old you. Let me see, Toma, how old are you?
I'm 13 also.
13 also. Okay, we got all the ages.
All right.
And the names. Now, who's next?
We got another storyteller for you right here.
And your name is?
My name is Rita Mehta.
Rita Mehta. And how old are you, Rita?
I'm 13.
13, very good. And what story do you want to tell us today? Don't worry about the computer chair.
I'm telling Manda Baba. It's a Hindu folktale.
A Hindu folktale.
It's also one of those stories that floats around a lot of religions.
Is this your background as well?
Yes, I'm Hindu.
Okay. Just make sure the mic's a little bit closer to you, and it will be fine. You got a good, strong voice, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So,
you can begin.
Okay. A while ago in India, there was a man. And this man was a very, very, very holy man. He lived in a very simple hut, and he had a very simple lifestyle, and every day he prayed to Lord Vishnu, which is one of the threefold embodiments of...
Yeah.
But Manda Baba, he was a little bit... he wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. He was a bit cracked in the head. And he really did not understand that, well, that people wanted to help him.
Yes.
And so one day, Manda Baba was sitting in his hut praying, and he heard a knock on the door, and he opened the door, and there was a man outside, and the man yelled, "Manda Baba, Manda Baba, oh, come quick, there's a flood coming, quick, it'll drown you, come, Manda Baba." Oh. And Manda Baba said, "Oh, no, 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 I will not go, because God will save me from the flood. It's all right. You go save yourself." And so the man ran away. Then the flood came. Manda Baba was up to his neck in water in his hut. And he heard a car driving by. Now, this car was all completely submerged, and it was really going very slowly through the water. And then a window opened, and they yelled, "Manda Baba, Manda Baba." Everybody who was in the car yelled, "Manda Baba." And they said, "Manda Baba, come with us. We're escaping the flood. Come on, Manda Baba, save yourself." And Manda Baba said, "Oh, no, I will not save myself. God will save me. It's okay. You go and save yourself." And so the car drove along. Now, by this time, Manda Baba was completely submerged in water. So he swam up to the roof of his the roof of his hut, and he climbed up and stood on the top and began praying. And he said, "Om Namo Narayanaya." And he was praying to Lord Vishnu to come and save him. After a boat came along. Now, Manda Baba was up to his waist in water again. And everybody in the boat yelled to Manda Baba, "Manda Baba, Manda Baba, come with us, we're escaping the flood. Come, Manda Baba, come. Save yourself." And Manda Baba said, "Oh no, God will save me. You go along, save yourself. It is okay." And so the people in the boat rowed away. Now, after a few more hours, Manda Baba was completely submerged in water up to his neck.
Yes.
And he was just standing there and praying to Lord Vishnu, and he heard this whirring sound, and he looked up, and there was a helicopter. And the people in the... There was a rope ladder dangling down from the helicopter, and there was a man on the top of the rope ladder. "Manda Baba! Manda Baba! Grab hold of the ladder, Manda Baba!" And Manda Baba said, "Oh no! Go along! Go along in your pelicopter, or what it is! Go along in your newfangled gadgets!" And the people in the helicopter went along. Sadly, Manda Baba drowned in the flood. Now, Manda Baba had been a very, very devout person. He followed all the values of Hinduism, and he wouldn't hurt a fly. And so, he went to the realm of consciousness called Vaikuntha, which is the abode of Lord Vishnu. He wanted to see Lord Vishnu and wonder and ask him why Lord Vishnu didn't save him. But there was a long, long line. A long, 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 long line. He waited for years in that line. And all the time, his tiny little brain was thinking one thing. Why didn't he save me? And finally, Manda Baba went into the room, and there was Lord Vishnu. And Manda Baba prostrated at his feet, and he looked up at Lord Vishnu with devotion in his eyes, and he said, "Oh, Lord Vishnu, I am infinitely graced with your presence, but please tell me, I have but one question. Why didn't you save me?" And Lord Vishnu looked down and said, "Manda Baba, Manda Baba, Manda Baba. I tried, you know. I sent my messenger, but you didn't listen to him. I sent some people in a car, but you didn't listen to them. I sent some people in a boat, and you didn't listen to them. I even sent my own personal helicopter. But what do? Not listen to them. Manda Baba, there's something you must realize. And that is this. When people help other people, they're doing God's work through their hands. Thank you."
Thank you. This is for all the ones that, not just you, but Rhythm, that was very nice. Tell us, where did you hear that one?
Sorry?
Where did you hear that story before?
Oh, I actually picked it up from a book of plays.
A book of plays. Well,
my dad actually used to tell me, he told me he heard it, a Christian version earlier in his life, and he told me a few, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and then I found it 2 or 3 years ago in a book of plays. Actually, I was going to do this story 2 years ago for the Children at the Well performance, but I had to go to India at the last moment because of some family emergencies. So,
well, you strike me as very talented, and looks like you have acting ability. I mean, you really live this experience. Are you in plays? Do you act in?
Yes, actually, I'm doing a musical. The first performance is in 4 hours.
Oh, wow. Very good. Very good. So thank you for sharing with us today on In the Spirit.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Wreath. And we have our next storyteller, Kali Fala. Thank you, Kali Fala, for joining us today on In the Spirit, and appreciate it. And how old are you?
I'm 14.
And 14. And from what tradition are you going to speak your story from?
Islam.
Islam, very good. So you can go ahead and tell your story.
Well, mine's a personal story.
Okay.
Because, well, I've been in a Nur Islamic school, which is a Islamic school in Schenectady, which I've been since pre-K through 8th grade. And what happened was we didn't have enough money to make a high school. So I went to Niskuna High. And okay. So that's my story.
All right.
It starts in the month of Ramadan, which is when Muslims fast for 30 days, and from sunrise to sunset. And yeah, it's a new experience now. Okay. Well, Niskuna High School is a great school. It's a new change though. I mean, in a newer Islamic school, what I did was I fasted in the school, but we had recess and lunch. And what happened was I had to, since we couldn't have lunch, we pretty much had a very long recess and we were just playing the whole time. And now they don't have lunch and gym and everything together. And so what happened was I just had to go to the library. And during the library, what you do is you just think about the food you could be eating.
Yeah. You're hungry.
And I was just staring at the table, just like, how did I get in this mess? And I look around, it was other people. And these people are doing what I'm doing. I was like, what's going on? So I asked this person, I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm fasting. It's Ramadan. I was like, that's interesting. I'm fasting Ramadan too.
Wow.
And I turned around to this other person, and she's wearing a hijab, which is cover of the hair and everything. And I was like, this definitely is fasting Ramadan. And I look around, and I see all these people I remember, like, in the mosque and everything. I'm like, whoa, that's how much Muslims we have in Niskuna? Interesting. And what happens is that's my first connection with the Muslim community in Niskuna, because I was in Albany the last time. And after that, during Ramadan, there's a study hall. And what happened was, there's a party, and there was food and stuff. And I was like, why? Why now?
Yeah.
And it's also, like, in the end of school, so that's when my brain's dead and everything, and dehydrated and stuff. And so I look at this guy, and he's telling me, hey, Khalfola, you want a cookie? I was like, no, I'm fasting. He's like, at least water? I was like, no. He's like, how long are you fasting? I was like, I'm fasting from sunrise to sunset for 30 days. And he's like, wow, that's pretty hard. I was like, yeah, well, it is, because I'm not used to doing it just alone. And so then after that, a group of people from the study hall come up to me and ask me all these questions on Islam. And I was like answering because of my knowledge from Islamic school. And what happened was they got interested, and then we got into this big discussion, and it was interesting. I learned a lot, and so did they. And that's pretty much what happened in Ramadan. Thank you.
It's a great story.
Thank you.
Yeah, inspirational. Thank you. Appreciate it. Pronouncing your name again?
Khalfola.
Khalfola.
Yeah.
Khalfola. Thank you. I felt very, I love that story. It's personal and meaningful, and appreciate it. And I see the value of stories. I can see the value. We can tell stories about fables. You can tell stories of personal experiences.
That's right.
So all these, and we don't have too much more time left, but I want to make sure that all the stories like these, and you will all be participating at the Sunday event, the Interfaith Youth Storytelling event, at Children at the Well event at St. Francis de Sales Church.
That's right.
At 3:30 p.m.
Followed by a potluck that people are welcome to join us.
And there'll be informal storytelling, sharing.
That's right.
At the potluck.
Yeah, we sit together in groups and get to meet each other and have little activities that help us connect.
And also, people that wish to participate in this, it's suggested that you don't bring a you bring only vegetarian, no meat, no or fish or poultry. Favorite vegetarian dish to share at the potluck.
That's right. And if they couldn't come on Sunday,
yes,
we have next Thursday at Congregation Beth Emeth from 6 to 8 on Academy Road.
Yes.
And that would be another opportunity. Some of our students will tell one day and some will tell another. Oh, the kids are writing me a quick note to say, don't forget to mention we're making a documentary. So some of the kids are working on a film.
A video documentary of this? That's great.
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. They should be in here, the first video. But, I'm really happy that this Interfaith Story Circle of the Tri-City area did meet here today on In the Spirit. I thank you, Ada, Toma, Emily, Aritham, Khalfola, and Marnie and Paula for being with us today. And I need to give you information. Phone number you can talk to Gert Johnson for contact is 374-0637, 374-0637. Also, email address is grsjohnson@aol.com. grsjohnson@aol.com. And I think we got a website too. Children at the well.org. So that's the whole thing. So You can remember that there's going to be two events coming up soon. One on Sunday, March 29th at 3:30 at St. Francis de Sales Church, and all are welcome. And also there'll be another one in
Thursday,
April 2nd,
from 6 to 8 at Academy Road, right by Galby Academy.
Okay, thank you. I want to thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Gary. It's our delight.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Will. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate all your sharing, and maybe we can do this again sometime. I would like it. It was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely. Let's give each other a hand.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And we'll see you again sometime. Thank you all for being with us today and in the spirit, and thank you for your listening. And if you wish to be on the email, In the Spirit email newsletter, please email me at inthespirit2424@yahoo.com. In that newsletter, you'll learn about upcoming guests, descriptions, contact information, and special events. Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure being with you. Shubhalananda, Friday night at the Yoga Loft, Sanatam Kartis weekend at Kripalu, Mirabai Devi with events all throughout New England in the coming weeks, mirabaidevi.org. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And stay tuned for Mark Dunlay and Capital Report.
Hi, you're listening to WRPI Troy 91.5 on the FM dial, the Upstate Underground. This is Mark Dunley taking over for Gary Goldberg, who just finished up In the Spirit on every Thursday from 11 to 4. And before that, Little District Progressive Radio. And of course, at always from 9 to 10, we have Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez with Democracy Now! And I'll be followed by the Deadheads for 2 hours. And then Kevin Robert comes in at 8 o'clock with tribute, a different dedication each show to a particular artist. And this is Capitol Report. And we tend to cover what's going on at the state capitol and in the nation. We do have a big event coming up next this Sunday over at Westminster Presbyterian Church. Very excited that Congressman John Conyers, the head of the House Judiciary Committee from Michigan, is flying in to speak about the issue of single-payer health care, which he is one of the actually the lead sponsor of it in the Congress. Last